From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. We're going to get to the infield this week. Talk a little bit of the games on Saturday and Sunday, spring training games. Currently a game in session. I can't even see it. I have no idea what's going on, and that sucks because it would have been the spring training debut of Gerrit Cole. But nonetheless, let's get to the partners, the stakeholders, talking some baseball. Susie Prof, Bleeding Yankee Blue, we're going to talk some infield tonight. And anything else that's on your mind, we can go back to the game Saturday versus the Jays and then Sunday versus the Rays. Susie Prof, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm so excited that Gerrit Cole pitched well today, and I'm excited to talk to you guys tonight.
Oh, please educate me.
Yeah, pitch well.
Couldn't see it. Jimmy? Oh, yeah, we're bringing on Jimmy. Jimmy,
what's
going on?
Anywhere,
I can't
right?
see one.
Hey, man. Hey, man. It's good to be back. Yeah, I saw Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's amazing, man. He really is good out there. Two strikeouts.
All right, because I haven't seen anything. So, Suzanne, if you did see it, I don't know how you saw it, but if you saw it, let me know or let us know what happened. And then we'll talk about that, and then let's look into the infield. Man, I love this aspect of our 2020 roster, the infield. But go ahead, Suzanne, fire away.
Yeah, so, I mean, unfortunately, I'm sitting here watching the Dodgers and the White Sox and not the Yankees because they're not on. It's crazy. But according to the latest update, he pitched well. He killed the first two batters in the first inning easily, and he walked a couple. It looks like he walked at least one, Cole Tucker, on four straight balls. And it looks like Josh Bell was the other person that he wasn't able. It says never had. Oh no, he actually struck him out with a 97 mile an hour heater. He threw 20 pitches and 12 of them were strikes. And his fastball topped out at about 98 miles per hour. So, I mean, that's a pretty good outing. And it's interesting because what I like about him, obviously the fact that he can pitch, but I think he's going to be really good in the role of mentoring young pitchers like Jordan Montgomery, for instance. I think that he understands the art of pitching. So besides the fact that he is going to be and is our ace, I think he has a lot of knowledge in the game of baseball. And luckily he's managed to stay healthy throughout his career. So I get the feeling that not only is his fitness level at its peak, but also whatever he's doing with nutrition and upkeep of his body is obviously, some good stuff. What I am concerned about is that Luis Severino doesn't take that same protocol and put it into play. And the guy, I shouldn't have said anything last week, but the guy, I don't know what he was doing in the off season. He certainly wasn't swimming like Otani was swimming, and he's like bulked up big time. He certainly wasn't working with Jay Happ, who also pitched extremely well this weekend, and he wasn't there, like, you know, from what I understand, strength and conditioning in Tampa, really, really working his body hard like Jay Happ did. And I liked what Jay Happ said after his game this past weekend about, just basically saying, I didn't go in there because the critics were on my butt. I didn't go in there because, you know, the fans were disappointed with me. I didn't go in there because the guys in the dugout were disappointed with me. I went in there for me and to be my best self for my team. And I just appreciate leaders like that. So between Cole and Happ, and eventually we'll get Big Maple back, Tanaka, you know, hopefully he's as strong as he's been. But, you know, we know that he's very much injury prone. And if Jordan Montgomery pitches well, you know what? We may just have exactly what we need, the finesse and the talent to carry us through. I know that's not everything you wanted to hear tonight. I know we want to talk infield, but you know, it's good to hear that, you know, our 29-year-old that we've invested so much money in has done his you know, solid in his first outing. You know, a fan wrote to me over the weekend when I had written about Happ, and I was really excited about him, saying, "Oh, we only pitched 2 innings." Yes, I know that. Read the piece and understand that those 2 innings were solid for that guy. I think his fastball was 93 miles an hour consistently. That to me shows that he's really built himself back up. But yeah, we're winning right now in this game, apparently, which is good, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's spring training. Oh, no, I'm sorry, we're losing. We're down 1-0. And it looks like they just got a run in the top of the sixth right now. So we're down 1-0. But yeah, just really good stuff coming out of Florida. I know we're only early in our Florida season, but I like what I'm seeing. I like in the infield, and I know we'll talk more about that tonight.
About the fan that wrote you, was he supposed to pitch more innings? I mean, I didn't understand that point. Did I miss something?
You know what? It's funny. And you know what I usually say to fans, and I'll kind of throw this plug out there. Guys, read the pieces.
Okay.
Because the way that we write, we're writing about, like, we're picking up nuggets, like, that are out there that people kind of lay out there. We're reading little things that are kind of popping up in, like, small articles in the Post, or maybe in like one of the other bloggers that are out there that are like kind of like looking at things. And I actually looked at it this way. As soon as I had read about Happ and I listened to the game and just, but I said, man, he's like the rookie, you know, the movie, The Rookie by Disney. And I started to really like
write
about like, wow, like maybe he's got that magic. Like maybe, you know what, he put that time in and he really worked that arm and maybe he's going to be something this year, because everybody wanted to trade him, including me, who I said, the guy is washed up. And you know what? Prove me wrong, guy. Go out there and strengthen your arm. Yeah. What was he going to pitch? He's not going to pitch more than 2 innings. So, like, read
not at all. No way.
Read what I'm writing about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's
what I say. J. Happ, faster, stronger, better in 2020. Read the piece. You know?
Before we go to Jimmy, I got a question. Are you confident this version of J.A. Happ in 2020 is not going to be better than the 19 version, but the 18 version when you acquired him in the trade? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think so. I think so. I think he's put the dedication in to be better, and everybody was saying he was better. Higgy said, you know what, all of his secondary pitches looked good. His fastball was great, as I said before. I think he was around 93 miles an hour for his fastball. And Aaron Boone, who tends to be sort of like, you know, not laid back, but like cautious the way he talks about his pitchers, he thought there was life in his fastball. Some of his 4-2 seamers were really effective, he said. So I've got to believe that the guy put the time in, that he was willing to work hard to be better this year, despite the critics, but more importantly for himself. I've got to believe that he's put himself out there to be a winner and a baller this year. And who knows? I mean, he could be an opening day pitcher for all we know at this point. I mean, it's, between him and Cole, we'll have to figure out who actually gets the ball. But, you know, certainly, you know, the fact that Maple and Paxton, rather, and Severino are going to be likely sidelined for, you know, at least the first part of the month, minimally, of April, he's got to step up. He's got to be that guy that's got to pitch. So, I have to believe that he put the time and the work in to be effective this year.
All right.
Jimmy,
what is your thoughts as far as what you saw out of this weekend? You can go back to Happ. As Suzanne just mentioned, as far as Cole's performance, reading off what happened in the game, I couldn't see it. But, Jimmy, what's your thoughts as far as Cole, you know, hearing the stats, and, of course, J.A. Happ on, from Saturday?
Oh man, you know, like the stats sound great. I mean, I know spring training don't really mean a lot, but I mean, that's a promising sign when, you know, we invested so much money in Gerrit Cole, and to see him come out the way he did. When I hear those numbers, I'm like, all I can say is, wow, man, like this is gonna be, if he can play like this, you know, consistent. I mean, I know he's not gonna throw 98 all the time, but I'm saying if he can be consistent striking out guys, hey man, that's what an ace does in big spots. I mean, and as far as Jay Happ goes, I think what I saw out of Jay Happ was, you know, he's so much different. You know, he didn't miss his commands. He didn't do any of the stuff he was doing last year, and he really looked good. So I mean, I'm really confident in Happ this year, and I think he is gonna step up, man. I think he's gonna do well.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, follow up question: do you think him doing well is going to be better than 2018? I'm gonna scratch 2019. I think he was just subpar. But what's your thoughts when he came on to the Yankees second half of 2018? He's going to be a better version than that. What's your thoughts?
Oh yeah. Definitely. He looks a lot different. He looks a lot different as far as his command and his fastball, because I mean, we all know last year his fastball wasn't there, because when he was doing his fastball, it would be like boom, you know, home run right away. And like I didn't see that on Saturday when he was out there. You know, when he was out there, I saw him calm. He found his spots. You know, he was doing all the little things that he should have been doing when we first got him. So he's gonna be better than when we first got him. I'm really excited for him.
All right. I thought he was fine on Saturday. You got to take things with a grain of salt with spring training. And I'm not going to overreact, but I take everything as I see it. And I thought for the two innings he was in there, he faced about six batters. He struck out three, I believe, and if I'm not mistaken. I thought he looked good. And you just want to see guys, no matter who it is, especially the pitchers, the guys who are in the field and who are going to be batting, they have 100-something games, 162 games to really get back into the flow, and they'll hit their stride. But the pitching, especially like Suzanne mentioned, with these guys getting injured, Paxton, you know, dealing with that, you have Montgomery coming off the Tommy John. You gotta hope for the best, whoever's coming behind Gerrit Cole, and hopefully he's at number one ace stuff without the injuries. Happ, you know, I hope he's going to be better than 2018 version, or I would say better, but as good. And we could definitely use that lift with the start of pitching, man, because some of the rules we talked about with the bullpen, you had to implement that. If Aaron Boone chooses to go that route, minimum batters you got to face with guys coming out of the pen. So you kind of have to kind of probably stretch out another inning or so, probably every other couple of games to wear out the numbers starting pitching wise. So basically what I'm trying to say is I want to see starting pitcher go a little bit deeper. And I'm kind of curious, you know, Susan, now that I think about it, what about the utilization of bullpen games? How do you think about how, remember Chad Green started several of those last year? Since we're still talking to pitchers, we'll also get to the infielders as well. But what are your thoughts as far as the 2020 version of the bullpen games? You know, maybe trying to preserve some of the starting pitching, and then we'll get into the infield. I think up the middle is very, very strong, probably the best in the league as far as shortstop and second base. But if you want to start on that, and then we could talk about the competition at third base. You saw Andujar look good on Sunday versus the Rays with the home run that made the game 3-2. They were down 3-1 and made it 3-2, cut the lead to one in the fifth inning. But Suzanne, your thoughts on bullpen games this year? How effective the Yankees could be again this year? I thought they had a lot of success with that in 2019. And also your thoughts as far as we'll go around the infield.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we have a very, very strong bullpen and I think we have probably a very good chance of surpassing our effectiveness in the bullpen this year than even last year. I think getting a new pitching coach and putting some life in the bullpen and in the rotation with Cole is going to add so much value. As I said, Cole, not just for the starting pitchers, but also for guys like Chad Green, who has been kind of like his white on rice, really paying attention to Cole and watching his finesse, as I said earlier. I mean, I think the world of Chad Green. I think he's a fabulous pitcher, consistent. Yeah, he had like a little, you know, kind of blip last year, but for the most part, he came in. He was a terrific opener. We have terrific statistics when he opened the games. It was some kind of crazy. It was over 10 games that we won when he actually was the opener of the game that day. So I'm a big fan of Kainley. I think he's going to be continuing to be strong and have his role in that bullpen. I mean, obviously Chapman is an anchor. I don't think we're going to miss Patantis at all. He hasn't really done anything for us. And last year he spent most of the time on the bench and on the IL. So I don't think he's going to be missed. And you know what? It'll be interesting to see Garcia if he's able to make his way into the major leagues this year. I don't think he's more than like 20, 21 years old. So he's got a lot of, you know, opportunity to show his strength and his ability to pitch. I know Hale pitched yesterday. Again, he's got some control problems, so I do worry about him. He's always had some control problems, but he's still kind of plugging away and being there. So, I mean, I think we have a really good opportunity to be as strong, if not stronger, when it comes to the bullpen and our ability to be flexible with pitching. Now, to your point, can we get a little bit more life out of our starting pitchers? God, I hope so. I mean, I hope Hap can pitch 7 innings. I hope that Cole can pitch 7 innings. And Tanaka has already shown us that when he is at his peak, he can pitch 8 innings or more. I mean, he wants to be in there the whole time. He's like kind of his own undoing, if you will. When he gets something in his head and he doesn't feel like his pitches are doing what they need to do, he starts to kind of battle against himself. So hopefully we'll see more innings out of our starters. As far as the infield, I 100% agree with you. I thought Andujar was terrific. And I am a big Gio Urshela fan. I thought he was terrific on Saturday. I thought Andujar was terrific on Sunday. I think we have some battles that are going to occur. But you know what? For the good. And don't forget, we've got LeMahieu, who's stellar at pretty much any position. I guess his natural position is second base. So, I mean, seeing him there, Gleyber is obviously playing in his natural position. So it'll be interesting to see first base, what happens with that. Where does Urshela go? I disagree last week. And folks were talking about, like, shifting Urshela. I don't think you take Urshela out at third base. I think you platoon. And you use the DH role very very strategically this year, and really put the best guys on the field as whether or not Boone wants to look at the pitching on the opposite side to kind of see who he wants to platoon. I mean, he's going to have some choices off the bench to certainly do that.
Right.
But, we have a really solid infield for sure.
Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, your thoughts, and I'm going to go back to you guys about the infield. But, Jimmy, your thoughts on the infield for 2020, the roster.
I think our infield is really solid, the most solid it's been in a long time. We talked about LeMahieu. We talked about, I think, a guy that none of us mentioned yet is, we still haven't talked. We started about Luke White, how Lloyd is going to fit in there. I mean, I think Lloyd is going to come back strong. I think he's going to come back strong at first, but thinks, you know, he's going to show he belongs there. And overall, we're going to have a nice competition in the infield that we haven't had in a long time. I mean, you look at DJ last year. I mean, the way he came through. You look at Gio, the way he played last year. All these young guys show they're ready to play. So I'm just excited to see how it's going to go, man.
I think the expectations have gone up a little bit more compared to last year because a lot of people were unsure of what we were getting with the infield in particular. Didi Gregorius had to come back at the time. You also had Torres. You wanted to see him in another year after that rookie campaign. And, of course, Andujar, his question marks, a lot of people did question his glove. Some fans do, some fans don't. But as far as Gio Urshela, to me, offensive line, we were all here last year. You guys had to convince me. I wasn't convinced with Gio Urshela's bat. And thanks to Suzanne, her lovely tweets and her articles, I got on the bandwagon on the Gio Urshela. That it took me like half the season, maybe a little bit more. I'm thinking maybe somewhere around London after London, because I didn't think Gio Urshela could keep it up offensively. Because you know, career wise, he wasn't really that guy at the plate. I knew his glove was pretty good, and you take the glove. And he's got to be the guy in the field more often than not. I don't care. Now, if there's a way we could get Andujar DH'ing or maybe try to get him more some reps at first, I'm all for that too as far as a backup role. See, I look at this thing more so – okay, some fans look at this as a competition, and it is a competition. Don't get me wrong. I actually look at it more as the versatility. It's just as good as the competition. The versatility meaning – we know when guys get injured, because we were banged up last year, LeMahieu came in. If you wanted him to play short, he'll play short. If you want him to play third base, he'll play third base. If you wanted him to play second or first, he could go anywhere in the infield and play his position. That is just such an asset to have. And we saw what he did at the plate, just even on Saturday, just commanding the pitch count, drawing walks, on-base percentages, spectacular. His year last year was, I think, really caught a lot of Yankee fans, though, because I think a lot of Yankee fans just didn't know who he was, honestly. I know he played a lot of years in Colorado, and I know he had some very good years in Colorado. But I didn't think, as well as I thought he would have done with the Yankees, because I thought more so about the bats behind him in the lineup. I mean, he carried a lot of this offense last year as far as the leadoff spot. I say all this to say I really believe we have the best middle infield probably in the entire sport. And that's just hoping we could get the same level of production in 19 from Torres and DJ LeMahieu like we did last year. If we could get that, we have the best infield, like offense, combination of offense, defense. Both guys could play either or position, which is, you know, that's it. That's fantastic. That's a fantastic asset to have, man. Going to Urshela, yeah, I'd rather – if I had to split it up, Suzanne, and I'm going to get your thoughts, if you had to split it up between Andujar and Gio, I definitely want Gio in the field probably at least 70 to 75% of the games, available games, and give the rest to Andujar or LeMahieu, depending on who's available, injured, so on and so forth. First base, to me, is really interesting because, like Jimmy said, with Lou Voit, you want to see him bounce back, but it's more so like if guys are struggling, do you trade in offense for defense? What's your thoughts on that, Suzanne? And then, of course, the possible, you know, you don't want to predict injuries, but we've seen this team get banged up a lot. How do you ideally want to see this first base situation, Suzanne? And then, of course, in the event guys go down, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, again, I am a big, big fan of Gio Urshela. He's a pure baseball player. He plays hard. And you know what? The critics that are out there saying, could he perform the way he performed last year? I mean, come on. The guy, any person at any time has the ability to peak, right? What you were last year, it's not guaranteed what you're going to be this year. And the same goes for like performance that is a poor performance, a poor year, a blip of a year, to the next year where you could be, you know, incredible. I think the bottom line is we have players that are willing to invest the work and time to mature and develop. And there is a core group on this team in particular that I think just have very good commitment and dedication to getting better. And that includes Dan Duhar. So I say any guy that's going to put in the time and the effort to be good, to get stronger, to throw harder, to run faster, I want that guy on my team, and I want to platoon them, and I want to give them every opportunity to be better, to get stronger, and to perform at the highest level. To your point, mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think if Urshela is having the kind of year that he was having last year, God, you got to have him in the infield. He's a weapon, for God's sakes. He takes base hits away. He makes plays that are phenomenal that I don't know if Andujar is got that yet. That's not to say having those two guys on the team working hard, incredibly hard together, and whether one is DHing and the other one's playing the field, freaking yeah. I take them both and platoon them and figure it out. Don't forget, like to your point, LeMahieu is going to be playing all over the place. Gleyber can move to second base as needed. I mean, there's so much opportunity and agility in this team that Boone has some really good options. And I think that puts us ahead of a lot of the other teams that are out there, at least in the AL East going forward. And so, yeah, I'd like to see Urshela, if he's playing at his top game, which I believe he will, that guy's got to be on the field because he steals base hits, and we need that. The other mm-hmm. thing is keeping in mind, if Jay Happ is pitching well, there's going to be a lot of ground balls, and we want that. So we've got to be able to field it. I have to tell you, a couple of years ago, we did not have the infield that we have now, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We gave up a lot of base hits. When Didi was out, that was tough. And I don't know if his arm is completely healed. I think, again, one game, I watched the Philly game yesterday because I wanted to see Girardi and I wanted to see Didi. And, he wasn't as sharp as we've seen him. So not that I wish him ill, but, you want to see players come back from these injuries and play well. Same with Andujar. I want him to come back and play well, but I want to be very cautious with him too. So it would be better probably in the beginning to play a little bit more Urshela, especially if he's performing, instead of Andujar, to kind of ease him back into the game after his surgery this year. So I agree with you, Steve. I think we have a lot of options and a lot of opportunity to play very well because of the depth of our infield.
Absolutely. Not just the depth, but the versatility of the depth, too.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, any additional thoughts on what Suzanne said and, with the infield, though? What do you like to see between third, short, second base, first base on an everyday basis? How would you like to mix it up as far as if guys, take a day rest? Like, obviously, it would probably be Andujar at third in the event Gio probably has a day off, and then you can always keep Voit there or Mike Ford, however you want to do it, or if you got to throw in Wade, who knows, or LeMahieu at first, like because you have so much versatility. You got don't forget about Wade coming from whether he's in the outfield or spot second base, playing for a few innings or through a game. Jimmy, what's your thoughts with the infield, and we'll get to the catchers as well. Let's not forget about them.
Oh man. That's a great problem to have. I mean, I know it's not a good thing to call it a problem, but it's a great problem to have when you have infield like we do. I mean, there's so many different ways of doing it, and I like it better when we mix it up because we don't want other teams to know what we're doing, so we gotta mix it up. I mean, I wouldn't even put Gardner in the outfield. Brett Gardner. Let's not forget he can make good catches too. So I could fit him somewhere. One of them gets a day's rest. I mean, possibilities are endless, is what I'm saying. And that's what I like about our group. We haven't had this problem in a long time. That's what I like about us. So, I mean, I'm looking to understand how this goes.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add to that, man, or are you good?
No, not really. I'm pretty good with that one.
All right, we'll move on to the catchers. I'm going to go back to the infield because there's a lot of things I want to still address with that. Suzanne, the catchers, Romine not being there, I thought he was a very solid backup catcher. And Gary Sanchez, we saw him play a lot better coming in 19 than 18 because I think a lot of it had to do with the injury. His power definitely was back in effect. I think it was all about the injury. I think it's kind of past him now, and I still think Yankee fans still have questions about his defense. But it's like his situation is kind of like, to me, it's like we know his defense is not where it needs to be or where it wants to be or whatever, and he's at that prime of his career where power numbers, oh, he's part of that, you know, that Judge, Torres, you know, if you want to include Stanton, whatever, he's there to deliver RBIs, probably more so, a lot more so than what he delivers at the plate. Although that catching and calling games is highly important, and it's going to be important as far as him calling games for Cole and Happ and Montgomery and whoever's in the lineup. So, how are you looking at El Kraken? How are you looking at him as far as offensively, his approach? Could we get him to at least, is 265-ish not too much to ask for Gary this year, batting-wise, average-wise? What about defensively you want to see him? How you want to see him calling games? And what even about Higgy backing him up? Now he's in the Romine role. What's your thoughts with the catchers?
I'm a wreck. If you're asking me directly, I have not been a Sanchez fan. And I feel like, oh my God, like I've got to be
right.
All in on him this year, right? I mean, I've got to kind of be in all in on him. Romine, it is a tremendous loss from the mentoring aspect that Romine provided to the off the bench work that he put in for the team last year. I mean, we are missing somebody. The void is going to be deep. And we're missing somebody that really gave us a lot from the bench to the field. I watched the guy catch in Trenton for years. We watched him be groomed, and my kids, you know, we rooted for him. And I'm a big, big fan of Romine, and I wish him all the luck in the world. I hope he's starting for the Detroit Tigers this year. I mean, he really deserves it. But with that said, now we have that void. And I don't know if Higgy can fill that void. I'm pretty sure he can't. I'd like to see him do well, of course. I root for him. And then we'll have to see if Josh Toll winds up coming up and playing as well. Because I don't know. 265, that really depends. I mean, he seems to go dead, like, in the middle of the season. And I don't know if it's his fitness level that gets to him. I mean, he's a young guy, but he just doesn't have the endurance to play a full season. And when he's out for weeks. And then, like, it's like we're really kind of stuck. I also don't believe, like, and everybody says, oh, he's the purest hitter on the team. I totally disagree. I think we're in trouble when it comes to catching. We've got to hope that Higgy can be well. And at Josh Toll, who they picked up from the Mets, can be strong. But we better start grooming more catchers because it seems like we groom great catchers only to go catch for somebody else. You know, whether it was John Ryan Murphy who went to catch somewhere else, or if it was Cervelli, who both have had really good careers where they've gone. We seem to groom them. And Romine now, but then we can't keep him, and so I'm nervous if I'm being honest.
wow, I feel you. Jimmy, your thoughts on the catches? I hear you. Jimmy, your thoughts on the catches situation?
This is real, really nervous, man. I really have to hope that I hope that we can see a different version of Gary. Like, basically we want to see a Gary that we've never seen before. You know, we need him to hit really good. You know, we need him to play defense. We're calling on Gary to be the big man now. He's got to be that quote next man up, you know, mentality thing that we have. You know, he's got to be that guy now. And I think, people say about his, you know, fitness and stuff. I mean, I think it can improve a little bit. You know, we have a different training staff. So I mean, we have a whole different training staff. So I mean, the way you train has a big impact on me. So I'm always gonna do the best. And as far as Higgy goes, I mean, we'll just have to see. I mean, we won't know much until the season starts. You know what's gonna happen. But I'm just hoping for the best with catches, man. Because we're gonna need it. We're gonna really need it.
I want to see Higgy get a lot of reps in spring training. I want to see Higgy get a lot of reps this spring training. You saw him a little bit on Saturday. That was one of the things I kept an eye out for because I knew we were going to do this episode today. He had a couple of at-bats. We're not saying or not even asking him to be a power hitter. We're not even saying just the productivity as far as a couple of slap hits here and there. He's never really been a very good hitter. So, but his thing, yeah, hey, man, I hate to say it, if or when Gary gets hurt, the amount of games he's going to have to play and whoever they have to have behind them, they are going to have to – the number one thing is call good games, better, you know, very good games, whoever comes in as, pitchers, the bullpen, so on and so forth. This is a very interesting dynamic because the Yankees are so loaded. But that backstop, man, I mean, defensively, we talk about Gary Sanchez for the last couple of years. What is his defense? And then sometimes it's been, what is his health? I don't even know. I'm going to be real. I don't think he's going to play more than 125. I think he will get hurt. I think he might get banged up, whether it's a hamstring running down the first or maybe he pulls something swinging. Him being in the best of shape, I don't think, last couple of years is just watching. I just don't see it in him, and I don't know what to expect as far as quality of depth at the catcher position if once the guys go down. Again, Suzanne, I'm with you. I'm not scared of death like as you are, but I am concerned like when he does get banged up because I just don't see – we haven't seen like a full him put it together for an entire year, and I'm really big on that, especially in baseball. I definitely do have concerns. But you know what? The Yankees may have to go out and get another catcher. I'm not exactly sure if they got anybody farmed and groomed up, but definitely, we definitely have pieces to go get a catcher, not necessarily a big time catcher, but a guy who's a veteran who could just get the job done, decent bat, but could cause a good game. I think that might be a route we may have to look into as far as down the line. This year, I think we may be able to survive the division with it, but I'm talking about more playoffs when we have to go against these tougher teams, playoff wise, because I expect us to make the playoffs. What is your thoughts about that, Suzanne, as far as additional? Because I know you mentioned the Mets catcher, but what about the Cashman? You could always use the trade route to do that as well. And then going back to the what about any additional thoughts, like let's say with Mike Ford or Voit? What are you expecting from them this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be, again, two guys that are going to battle but also platoon at first base. If they both are at their best, great. We have options. And I root for both of them. To me, they are players that I want on my team because of their work ethic and their ability to get up there and be clutch when things are tough. And they both play terrific defense at first base. So I feel really strong about both of them. Either one, whoever's better than the other, you know the other guy is working hard to you know, battle back. As far as the catchers that are out there, Steve, there's nobody out there. That's the thing. We missed our opportunity with Realmuto last year. We missed our opportunity.
Oh, from Philadelphia.
And,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, so we don't really have – there's not much out there as far as catching goes. We're going to have to groom somebody, and we got to hope that Toll and other guys that are playing AAA and AA are – that they're working with them in player development because there's not much out there. The catchers that are catching well are staying where they are, and the ones that aren't are subpar and – maybe you're right, Steve. I mean, maybe there's one or two that are out there potentially mid-season that we wind up picking up just to kind of have as a fill because we know Gary's going down. I say he goes down twice. You were being optimistic with 125 games. I don't even think so.
No, I don't think so.
We'd be very lucky.
No, I don't think he will. I don't think he will. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I don't think so either. So, like, do we kind of hang in there and like see what comes up, like in the you know the June July period when we know he's going to go down? Yeah, maybe. But there was really not much out there anyway. So, so we'll have to see. I mean, I think the player development is going to be key for us in the farm. And hopefully, you know, they work with these guys and they see enough action. To your point, to see Higgy perform and have a lot of reps this spring is going to be to our benefit. And that's the other thing. He's never really had all that much time to develop because Romine was so good. But now we have no choice and we've got to see him develop. So I hope he gets a lot of reps and I hope he works really hard. And I hope that he is able to connect with the pitchers that he's going to be calling games for and that if and when Sanchez goes down and we don't have anybody else, that he can perform and fill that void because we're in a lot of trouble with Romine gone.
One more question, and then if you have a question for Jimmy or myself. Mike Ford, how many opportunities you think we might be able to see out of him as far as him if he's on a 40-man or whatever? He played how many games? A third of the season maybe, I'll say. I thought he was productive for a guy who's coming on the scene. He has some – I'm not going to say big home runs, but he when he came on, he had some spark, okay? So I'll say this to say or ask this. I thought he was – in the limited time that we've seen him in probably a third of the season, it seems like, I thought he was productive. Is there any way to maximize his reps? What's the plan for him? Is there a plan for him? How are you in favor of a Mike Ford? Are you a fan of Mike Ford?
I'm a big fan of Mike Ford. I mean, he's a Princeton guy, and I live in Central New Jersey as well. Yes, there is such a thing as Central New Jersey, Steve. And,
absolutely. Absolutely.
And I like him. I like the way he plays. To your point, I think he played maybe 50 games, so you're about right. And he batted .251.
Okay.
He's 26 years old, and he's got a lot of life in him and a lot of opportunity. I think there's a lot of benefit to give him a lot of reps. So that he can see a lot of different kind of pitching and get his groove on. He impressed me when he got up to bat in those clutch situations and he performed. So I think if he is at his best and Voider is at his best, again, that's just benefit to us. I say we keep him, we give him a lot of opportunity to develop. and we see him in games and consistently. And I don't know how healthy is Voit going to be. I mean, I hope he is. But, you know, to know that Mike Ford is there and it's not, God help me, don't say the name, Birdie Boy, makes me feel a heck of a lot more comfortable that we've got somebody that I think can be consistent and play well and provide us with a lot more, I think, not only longevity in the game, but I think a lot more protection with the bat and the glove on the field.
Since you mentioned Luke Voit, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I gotta ask this question for both of y'all. As a matter of fact, I'll go to Jimmy. Jimmy, Luke Voit, what are your thoughts? Him coming into 2020, you know, when he came over from in the trade a couple of seasons ago. I mean, he was like an urban legend. He was like a folk hero. I mean, this guy was just a Paul Bunyan with a bat. You know what I'm saying? He was a giant. His batting average, I just remember all he did was get hit, whether it was power, he was putting it in play, whatever. It seemed last year because he was injured. I mean, he kind of cooled off, but he was still effective. But after a full season with the Yankees, your thoughts on, you know, and he definitely – he had at least over 400 at bats. He played a lot. Jimmy, where do you stand with Luke Voit? Who is the real Luke Voit? Is the real kind of like what we said about Sanchez and a couple of seasons, more so several seasons ago when he came onto the scene, he was batting insane. Is the real Luke Voit is what we saw at the end of 2018, or more of the sample size of a full year in 19 at the bat, you know, at the plate? Hold Jimmy, you're going in and out. I can't hear you.
Oh, I saw when we first met him, man. He was on fire. Like he really looked good. I mean, if we can see that Voit, man, I think we got a good thing. I mean, but you never know how that injuries are funny, man. Like you never know how Luke Voit is gonna come. You know, if he can come back strong, you know, like half of that, man, I'd be great because you know we need that. I was a big problem because every time he got up, it was like home. What I want to see, man, when we first got him. That's my thoughts on him, man. I really like Voit.
Suzanne, what's your thoughts on Voit? Who is the real Luke Voit for the Yankees? What we got in 18, or the more of the regular full time when he took over for Greg Bird? Who's the real Luke Voit for the Yankees?
Yeah, to your point, he had over 400 at bats, 429 at bats. He played 118 games last year. I think he was batting around 260, 265.
Not bad.
263. No, 263. And I mean, he's a hard working guy. He's a big guy. He's a Hulk. He will push himself. he's passionate about playing and playing well. My concern is that the injury that he had is either going to eat at him. Like, I hope it doesn't haunt him. Keep in mind, this is a young man that has been injured before. I mean, he had to give up football. Lucky for us, he did, so that he could play baseball. So I wonder if, you know, something is going on with him. And I know that he went had multiple tests, went to multiple doctors during the off season to kind of figure out like what was going on. I mean, he did have some postseason surgery, so he is coming off of that. And my concern is the abdominal or the abdominal strain that he had, much like I worry about, you know, Judge's oblique, right? that that's an injury that, you know, obviously is there, and it needs to be, you know, taken care of and strengthened and whatnot. I mean, he hit over 20 home runs already a year ago. I think he hit over 20. I think he might have hit almost 20 home runs. Maybe not last year. He was out too much. But I think that the guy is going to be good. It's just a matter of how good is he going to be this year. Is he going to be good enough? And to your point, the 2018 Luke Voit that just came in with a bang. I hope so. It's hard to say. Again, battling that injury, knowing that it's there mentally, making sure that each time he goes out there, he warms up correctly, he does everything right, and hopes to God that he can stay healthy and perform. That's the part that I worry about. So we'll have to see. And you know what, like we see guys like Florio, you know, Esteban Florio, who also has been injured. And again, I think he is a great player, but his light has dimmed a little bit. And I think Susan Wolman said it the other day, this is going to have to be his season. Eventually you get to be, you know, 23, 24, 25, and you keep getting injured, you tend to be overlooked then, somebody that can get in there and do damage and perform. So, I mean, this is going to have to be the year of Voit, the year of Floreal, the year of Wade. These guys are going to have to get up there and they're going to have to perform, because no longer, I mean, Voit is a little bit older, but the other two, no longer can they be preserved as, you know, prospects and rookies that are going to contribute unless they go ahead and do it. They've got to just, like, move ahead and actually perform. So we'll see. We'll see how Voit does. We'll see how Floreal does. We'll see how Wade does. And, again, the stronger we are, the better that we are going to be against our opponents, who clearly are going to, you know, battle us, and they want to see us not win because, of course, we're the Yankees. So hopefully health will be on our side this year, and Voit will stay healthy and stay confident and stay with the program in order to perform at his best.
I like that back and forth with Ford and Voit, lefty righty, lefty righty, and two big power hitters too, man. Both of them, like, not too often you have that, where one guy is a lefty bat who can go for power, and a righty can go for the righty at first base can go for power. You can always DH them. You can always put Andujar. I mean, it's a nice depth thing. I wouldn't call it an issue. Like I said, the word versatility I'm going to use for 2020. I love the fact that you could have a guy hit for average, you could have two power hitters, and they're pretty much decent gloves. They're not, you know, they're not the hugest liabilities. They're not Don Mattingly at first, but defensively. But as far as they don't have to be either. That's the thing. Jimmy, let's get some final thoughts from you. We'll be back in 2 weeks, but Jimmy, final thoughts from you on the infielders, and then in 2 weeks we'll get to the outfielders.
Oh, man. And, you know, my final thoughts are simple, man. I just want everybody, you know, since it's spring training, I want everybody to stay healthy. I mean, you know, stats really don't matter right now. You know, everybody has to stay healthy and, you know, perform to the best. So as long as we go into the season healthy than we were last year, you know, any position, you know, not just infield, but any position, you know, pitching, whatever. As long as we can stay healthy for a long time, we got a good chance. And, you know, that's my final thoughts, man. You know, I want to get spring training done so we can focus on the real stuff, man. The regular season, man.
Man, Florida's a nice time of the year, man. I don't think those guys are ready to leave Florida, man. you're ready to get things going.
I'm ready for the real stuff.
I hear that, man. I hear you. Shout out to Jimmy, man. Kane's Eagle 1. Suzanne, Susie Prof. Susie Prof 1 on Instagram. leading Yankee Blue. Your final thoughts.
My final thoughts are I would mimic what Jimmy said. I mean, let's season off on a good streak. Let's see a lot, our guys get a lot of reps and be patient. Let's develop a flow for winning and a synergy around the work that needs to be done and the teamwork that needs to sort of happen in a very chemical and in a very, as I said, synergistic way. Let's see these guys get to know each other, the new guys on the team, bonding with one another. Let's see some leadership, and let's go win some ball games. I mean, I think we use every opportunity this spring to get stronger and to gel. And, hey, you know what? Come the end of March, when it's game time, that we're ready to go. And we've worked out some of these kinks, and we're ready to really take the season by its horn and just go for it. And we've got to be willing to do that. So I'm excited about it. I will tell you, the Houston Astros took everything out of me this winter, and I didn't know how I was going to react to the start of baseball. And I have to say, I'm back, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the Yankees to do well this year.
All right. Shout out to Suzanne. Thank you very much. For Suzanne and Jimmy, myself, I really find it interesting that it was so many good things we could talk about this team. I know we picked the catchers. The fact that we didn't even really go into depth about Gleyber Torres because we don't necessarily needed to, because we kind of expect him to be great. That's kind of the weird thing about tonight's episode, because we spent so much on the expectations on the other guys that arguably the best guy his ceiling is he's not even reached it yet offensively, and he's back at his natural shortstop position. It should be a lot of great things. The fact that I believe Suzanne and Jimmy, and we'll wrap it up, not only I believe we have the best two middle infielders, the fact that they could play each other's position and not miss a beat defensively. I haven't seen that in a while. You know, when we see Jeter all those years as short, he doesn't play second base. You know, and whoever's playing, you know, whether, you know, second base or early in his career, you know, who came back to play short, you know, they didn't have that versatility. You have that. If you really wanted to play with that, you could do that. I think that's kind of unique. And in the depth at first and third, it's just great to have. The question marks is that catcher, though. We're all in agreement. Sangria Su, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 2 weeks from now. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue.